Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Plenty to talk about. I mean, we have more drama breaking with the Guardians. We have, well, more drama breaking with the Browns quarterbacks. And the Cavs are off doing whatever the Cavs are doing. They're enjoying it. Donovan Mitchell's probably somewhere just enjoying the summer. And meanwhile, Cleveland sports is slowly but subtly collapsing around everybody. Jake Vollink with you guys here from 7 to 11. We got Jax Gregory running the board. We have, as you heard on the 2020s, and do work behind the glass, Michael Markoch with us tonight. I escaped Cleveland for the weekend and everything went haywire. Am I no longer allowed to leave? Is that what happens? I roll down. I go to Cincinnati a couple hours away, 4 hours away. But I take my time down. I feel like I'm just not allowed to leave the city anymore.
Did the Luis Ortiz news break when you were out of town too?
Now I have to think back of when that broke.
It was like right around that time.
It had to have been close. It really did have to be close. To is that what happens? Players just start taking away. There's like, let me rip up FanDuel, rip up DraftKings, and let me just start placing away bets. Is that like, I just can't do anything. Guys, they're pulling hammies when I'm away. I didn't realize I was in any way integral to anything. And I'm sure I'm not, but it sure feels like it at this point. I just wanted to go watch a Reds game. That's all it was. Just wanted to see a new stadium. A little early birthday present for me and my siblings. It was fun. It was a good time. But then I have to come back to just nothing but bad news. Couldn't be good news. Couldn't be like, hey, Joe Flacco balled out today, and now he might be the starter. No. Joe Flacco still might be the starter, but not for courtesy of that. I do want to start with you guys. Guardians currently in a rain delay is what we're calling it at the moment, although good chance it doesn't end as a rain delay.
I don't think they're playing.
You don't think so?
Poor guy. I saw a guy wearing a jersey with how you were going to every baseball stadium. He had, I've been here, and it was all these logos stitched into this jersey of the stadiums he's been to.
That's a cool thing he's got going.
And doesn't look like he's going to get to see a game.
Well, he's going to see the stadium. I mean, I'm imagining they probably let him in. Maybe got to try out some of the good food down there, some of the local spots down in Progressive Field. But yeah, I don't know that he's going to be watching anybody take the bump and throw first pitch today. Just weather not permitting. Again, it's just a gross weather day. It's just not fun. Like, I just spend the entire weekend being in, like, humidity, where it's, like, it's sunny and then starts to rain, but it rains for 2 minutes. I felt like I was in a very much shortened version of being in, like, Florida, where it's like, oh, it's raining. This isn't a fun day. And they're like, no, don't worry. The locals just tell you, it'll go away. It'll go away. It'll be 40 minutes. Don't worry about it. It might be a torrential downpour for the 40 minutes, but everything after, don't sweat it. It'll be sunny, 100% humidity, and also 100 degrees by the time it's 2 o'clock. And that's what it felt like the entire time. Not a fun weekend. I mean, listen, as a large individual, we gotta stop something here. The humidity, we're supposed to be in the Midwest. Like in Cleveland, sure, the water creates a little bit of humidity. It can get a little humid in Northeast Ohio. When I go down to Cincinnati, I'm expecting it to be a little bit hotter, but most certainly a little bit less humid. Welcome to the Midwest in the summer, I guess. Hey, you just slapped the humidity on me too, and I mean, I was walking around Cincinnati like I was in a pool of water, okay? It looked like I jumped into a lake. Not a fun time. Nobody wants to see that. But as we talk about the Guardians a little bit, Emmanuel Clase, if you missed the news, well, wake up, open social media, has also been placed on paid non-disciplinary leave as part of MLB's investigation into gambling. Back here on Overtime with Jake Vollink. Make sure we're staying safe out there. Don't want to get caught in the severe thunderstorms, right? Make sure we're staying safe. We're all good. But I don't, is this what happens? I'm not allowed to talk about the Guardians either. I get cut off by the weather. I told you guys, it was disgusting out there. But Emmanuel Clase being wrapped back into things happening with Luis Ortiz. They're both under, like I said, paid non-disciplinary action or leave, excuse me, due to the MLB's investigation going into player gambling. To which I just throw out there, like, how on earth is this Cleveland right now? Like, how is this what we get placed into? Where, sure, Luis Ortiz, I think, was a big miss for this team. I thought Joey Cantillo has held down the fort admirably, considering that he was a bullpen pitcher who was then being stretched out into being a starter again and was basically giving you five innings of solid baseball a majority of the time that he's been coming out over the last month. I was happy with what you got out of Joey Cantillo, but when you go down Clase, it's like we talked about what it was actually happening if you were going to go through and you're going to trade Emmanuel Clase. A trade of Clase was a signal to this team that, yeah, we don't think you can win this year. When you trade away very possibly the best closer in baseball, it was an indication of, yeah, we're probably going to be looking forward to 2026, maybe even 2027 when you trade away a player like that. Like, Cade Smith is nice. He's a good closer or setup pitcher at this point, but I think he could be a good closer, and I would trust him. I'd be perfectly fine with Cade being your closer, but when you have Clase, you don't have to think about things like that. Like, I mean, we're talking about a guy that was in the running for the Cy Young as a reliever. Like, that does not happen. And obviously, he hasn't quite been that this year. He went through the rough patch, and then over the weekend, my, the worst 10th inning I think I've ever watched in the span of baseball. Like, can we just, I don't know, load the bases with no outs, actually put a couple runners across, and maybe close out the game without giving a walk-off homer? That would be something to sort of marvel at. It would be nice. Winning baseball teams, I feel like, tend to do that. Back here on Overtime with Jake Volnick. Again, I reiterate to you, stay safe. I mean, seriously, this time, I mean, listen, obviously, the severe thunderstorm, not something to joke around about. But tornado, certainly not something to joke around about. So make sure we're paying attention. Make sure we're staying safe. But as we get back to a different kind of tornado in Emmanuel Clase, it feels like doing twice in one segment. It feels like a lot. But as I was saying, like, as we go back and we look at the Guardians, as I set up, if you had traded away Emmanuel Clase, you were basically indicating to this team, you did not think that they were going to compete. And I think right now, going through and looking, you really have to reconsider some of the things that you're going to have to look forward to at the deadline. Like, if Clase is going to be off this team for an extended period of time, and let's not mince words, like, as the MLB does an investigation into gambling, you're potentially looking at the result of a lifetime ban. I don't know for sure that's the route they're going to go down. Like, the only modern-day betting scandal that's popped up has been Shohei Ohtani. And, well, Shohei didn't exactly take the fall for that one, okay? Not saying it was wrong, not saying it was right, but Shohei didn't end up taking the fall for it. But we really don't have, since sports gambling became just normalized in our society, a real evident thing to just look at and say, okay, this is how baseball is going to handle it from now on. We can look back and obviously look to Pete Rose, who they handed a lifetime ban to, and we're like, nope, that guy's not getting into the Hall of Fame, that guy's not re-entering baseball. So the only thing we have to go off of is that is a legitimate possibility that we're looking at right now, that two guys who happen to play for the Cleveland Guardians just hurt the integrity of the game and would no longer play baseball. That's not only setting you up for obviously a rough patch this year, but it's also setting you up, when you talk about Clase especially, for a rough patch going into the future. So if you're the Guardians, forget about the set of games that you just won, even though you're coming off this weekend not playing so hot. Like, getting yourself back into the 500 category, being in the wild card race, can very well just be thrown out the window. Because it's a whole lot more difficult to see these things and actually see them come to fruition if this team's going to get better without Clase there. 216-474-0092. The Guardians might have to consider something else coming up at the deadline, and I think you might have to consider the idea of trading Stephen Kwan or Shane Bieber. Might have to be a conversation that has to come back up. Again, 216-474-0092. You can also get to be on X at Volnick Jake, V-U-L-I-N-E-C, Jake, so we can do our social media reactions, powered by by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Plenty of stuff to get to you guys with tonight. We're going to get to the Station Buzz coming your way at 7:40. We talked to Dylan Feltovich, Cleveland Browns on SI coming up at 8:20. Get a grip, as it always is, at 9. We'll bring in Jax Gregory later on in the 10 o'clock hour for another edition of Change Your Mind. But right now, 216-474-0092. Should the Guardians be reconsidering an idea of a Shane Bieber or Stephen Kwan trade following the Clase news? We'll get to your calls and more coming up on this in about 5 minutes right here on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan. Trading away Shane Bieber, Stephen Kwan following the news, Emmanuel Clase on paid non-disciplinary leave due to the MLB's investigation on gambling, which, like, I understand, again, this is not the equivalent of trading away Clase, but you do have to take into consideration what it means for the team. Like, at least if you went through it and you had traded Clase leading up to this deadline, you would have been talking about getting a haul back. Like, you would have gotten something in return, and probably a decent return. Like, Clase being an affordable contract, being one of the best closers in baseball, you're talking about getting either a very highly touted prospect or prospects, or an everyday player in the major leagues. Like, you are 100% getting those things back. But with the gambling investigation, that goes out the window. So you're losing what I think you could easily consider your second, if not second, third best player on the team, and getting essentially no return for it. But it also just puts you in a state this year that if you go through and look at what the Guardians are, that it makes it so much more difficult to actually assume that they can win games. Like, one-run games exist, and you get so many wins off of them last year. You've been finding them this year just on the idea that, hey, you bring in Clase, he's going to hold it down. Again, didn't happen this weekend, but for the most part, Clase does very well in those situations. Your game under 500. You don't get to the playoffs by being worse than you were in the first half. Right? You're certainly not. And you could take out the 10-game losing streak. You're still in a very similar spot. But you can't be worse than you were. And you can't be the same that you were. You can't be a 500 baseball team and get through it. Which this team does indicate at every turn, even the way that they were playing, that they're pretty close to a 500 baseball team. You beat up on the bad teams, you lose to the good teams, and you sit somewhere right in the middle. Those even teams, the teams like the Royals, are the ones that you split series with, or you take one of three, sometimes two of three, and you sort of battle back and forth. Without Clase, that job just gets so much more difficult. And again, not because I don't trust the closer that you're going to have, because I think Cade Smith is going to be great. It's the bullpen as a whole. Like, the bullpen comes crashing. They don't have anybody that you can be just crazy emphatic that they're going to go out there and they're going to lock it down. It's Gattis and it's Cade Smith. Beyond that, I'm not very confident in a ton of what they have. Like, I like Eric Sobrowski. I don't know that I can trust him in every waking turn. I know I'm going to see plenty of Matt Festa in a leverage role following this, and I certainly don't trust that. And I can't trust you bringing back Tim Herron. Great a year ago, pitched so bad towards the end of his tenure here before he got sent down to Columbus that he did get sent down. And they couldn't keep him on the roster. And they decided, you know what, give me Coby Allard instead. Like, that is a statement in and of itself. But the bullpen is going to be in shambles without Clase.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
You just don't have guys you can trust there. So this entire problem that we've been building, that we've been leading up to, just gets worse and worse as we continue on here. So I don't know that I can really push back on the fact of, if you were going to trade and you were going to sell, you're leaning so much closer to a sell now than you were before. Again, 216-474-0092. Let's go out to the phones. Joe is in a car. What's going on, Joe?
Much is going on. This is terrible about Class A, obviously, and I think it's about time that the fans do something. I don't know what they can do specifically, but I would love to see maybe a class action lawsuit against both of the pitchers who have done this. I mean, betting is commonplace anymore, and these guys think you can do it, and there's no accountability. So if August 31st comes and he's deemed guilty, I would love to see a class action lawsuit against that guy and the other guy that we got from Pittsburgh. As far as Kwan, I don't want to let that guy go. They have to sign that guy as soon as possible and not dilly-dally like they usually do, because his price is going to go up. He's going to have more of a disdain for the ownership here. He doesn't say anything. He says he loves it. But we got to hang on to that guy. Now, as far as Bieber, he's gone anyway, so who cares? But that's what I have to say. Get him.
Yeah, I appreciate the call a ton, Joe. I don't know that you have any grounds really to stand on in the terms of a class action lawsuit. I don't know how that would work out in the legal system. They pay me to talk on the radio, not to figure out law, but maybe you do. I think obviously I'd be more open to trading Shane Bieber than I would Kwan. I just think that you legitimately do have to sort of flip this thing around and start to consider both possibilities. Like, finding a elite closer and fixing this bullpen, fixing this offense while maintaining the strength of the rotation. Like, the sad part is you might be looking further than just 2026 for this team to be back doing what they should be. Like, with Clase here, it's a lot easier to explain away, it was one bad year, you got young guys, you can call them up, things are going to be okay. Because the bullpen was going to be fine. Like, you'd still have control of Gattis, you still have control of Cade, and you had multiple years left of control on Emmanuel Clase. So you were going to go back and go, all right, well, we just have to sort of shore up the bullpen, find a couple of pieces, find a couple guys. Maybe, you know, Andrew Walters comes back, you can trust him. Maybe Sabrowski develops into something. And you weren't far off of having a solid bullpen again. So I don't know that anybody looked around and considered it a true weakness of the team. It was just kind of one of those in-between spots of, they're holding on by a thread, but in a year you could see it fixed. I don't know without Clase that a year that thing's fixed. Like, I don't know that you can get that much reliever help in 1 year to feel confident once again without just hitting a couple of strokes of dumb luck. So I'm looking at a lot of issues with one team that I'm going to have to fix in one offseason, and maybe you can patchwork the offense. Maybe you can't. Like, I don't know what Travis Bazan is going to be. I don't know what Chase DeLauder is going to be health-wise, let alone what he actually looks like at the plate in the majors. And you don't know what Kafis or Brito or anybody else is going to be. If you're already signaling, hey, we're going towards 2026, Bieber being a help for you for this year doesn't really do anything for me. Like, if you can sign him again next year, maybe, but I still don't know what he is as a pitcher. And if he's going to have value coming back from Tommy John, I'd definitely be considering moving off of him. And as much as I like Stephen Kwan, and I would enjoy him being here in the long term, we've talked about the fact I don't know that the tools that Kwan has carries over into a 6-7 year extension, which is what you're looking at if you're going to pay him. But considering I can't get value back for just about anything else on my team, that has to be something you consider. Like, that's the other part of it. If you're going to sell, and that would be the indication I think the team should have without Class A, is you probably should move off and sell now. The problem is you've lost one of your only trade pieces that made sense to move off of. Like, you're not going to trade Jose. You're left with guys like Kwan, Bieber. And I honestly don't know. I was going to throw Carlos Santana in there. I don't think Carlos Santana has much value at this point. Like, I made a joke when we saw Naylor get traded last week. I was like, man, this means that Carlos Santana is going to be a bullpen catcher and a bag of peanuts is what I'm getting back for him. at this point, I might actually accept if you traded me a bag of peanuts and a bullpen catcher for Carlos Santana. No shade, good veteran player, but like, I just think his value right now across Major League Baseball is through the floor. Like, if that's what you got back for Josh Naylor, you're not getting much back for Santana. So I just struggle to see, even if I want to move off of guys, who am I moving off of? Like, you're legitimately talking about potentially going and trading away guys like Tanner Bibee, who you have years of control on. If you want to try to find success later on for this team, and if you're essentially punting on this season, and in a way, considering punting on next, unless you hit another stroke of dumb luck. Like, unless the rookies all come up and perform, I don't know what you have. But the Guardians are going to have to think about this year as one where you're probably not going to compete. Clase makes that big of a difference. He makes that much of an impact on this team that it becomes exactly what this team is now left to have in front of them. And that's going to be plenty of losing baseball. You beat up on bad teams. You also need your closer to beat up on a lot of those bad teams. You need the star guys. If you're going to compete in the playoffs and not just scrape by and make a spot and hope to get lucky to get there, you're going to need your closer to win games in the playoffs. I don't know how at this point you can warrant going out and attempting to continue to win baseball games. Right? Like, I don't think that this team's going to be capable of it. And I think this organization is very aware of the fact that that's going to be the case. And now you have 3 days to make a decision. Following tonight, which, I mean, we'll keep our eyes peeled, but I doubt they do anything tonight. You have 3 days to make a decision on your team. You're already below 500. Sure, you're on the wild card spot. But if I'm sitting here trying to determine, can I be better than not just, you know, what we were in the first half, but also looking ahead and saying, all right, well, it's not just them I have to be better than. I have to be better than the Red Sox. I have to be better than the Rays this year. I also have to be better than the Mariners and the Rangers going forward. And I still have to, like, hold off teams like the Royals, who are a game behind you. I have to hold off the Twins, who are a couple games back, and the Angels. There's a lot to get done in that time and not a ton of way to actually just warrant fighting it off. A lot of those teams have better outlooks than you do, and a couple of those teams have better records than you do. I have to try to outperform all of those teams except for two. Two of those teams are allowed to outperform me, and that's it. Assuming that they don't take the race in the division, not to mention I didn't even throw in, like, the Yankees are also in that race. But you're not going to be able to do that. This offense has shown over the course of the year they're not going to be able to keep up the offensive firepower. If I can't trust the bullpen, I can't do it. Reality has to be struck to the point where you can get mad at the Dolans, you get mad at Chernoff and Antonetti, and at points, those are entirely valid, and I'm not going to, you know, invalidate those at all, because there's a lot of things you can point to that this team does wrong. But at this point, yeah, you do. You reflect back on the players, and you go, okay, if proven guilty, you look at Luis Ortiz and you look at Emmanuel Clase and said those guys cared more about making, you know, a few extra bucks on the side. It'd be nice if those were the few extra dollars I was talking about. That'd be life-changing money for me. But a few extra dollars on the side to spike a pitch in the dirt and possibly, you know, blow a save or be willing to throw away an at-bat in a third inning where you're trying to win games. They cared more about taking away a money value from that than trying to get this team to winning. Like, your management can only control so much. They can't stop Clase and Ortiz from going and doing these things. Again, if proven guilty. But you've already lost them for the majority of the year. Like, August is already cooked. Those guys are through August 31st, not coming back. I guess at the very least we got today was an explanation on what the hell is going on with Luis Ortiz and why isn't this thing wrapped up. Like, that's the positive I take away from today. Like, I had no clue as to why this thing was taking so long. Felt pretty clear cut. Well, it's because you had another player involved in the allegations as well. It wasn't just Ortiz. So, if that's a positive I take away from this, yeah, I'm sorry. I'm listening to offers for Kwan, and I'm listening to offers for Bieber. And basically, anybody not named Jose Ramirez, you're pretty close to being on the table. And I guess Cade Smith at this point, because I do need a closer. Like, those are the two guys who I'm not listening to offers for. I know they closed the door on Kwan, and they said they weren't listening. I think you might reopen those phones at this point. Because I just don't know what the value of a bat there is in 2026. Like, if I have a leadoff guy but nobody to bat behind him, I don't have a bullpen to be sure on the other side. Am I making a run in 2026? I'm starting to find that really hard to believe. But an incredibly frustrating situation that I just don't know how you climb yourselves out of and how you get beyond it. But all your chances of buying at the deadline flew out the window. Even the chance that you have sold and still compete at the deadline have pretty much flown out the window. A hard, tough pill to swallow. 216-474-0092. Would you be considering trading Stephen Kwan and Shane Bieber at this point now following the Class A news as well? The Station Buzz coming your way here in 5 minutes on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan. At 8:20, we'll be joined by Dylan Feltovich, Cleveland Browns on SI, breaking down the quarterback competition and everything sort of inside of it. But before we get to all that and talking the Browns, we have to get to the most pressing thing said by our station's guest today. So let's do it with the Station Buzz. All right, let's kick things off. Our very own Cleveland Browns beat reporter, Cleveland sports beat reporter, Daryl Ryder, on today with Ken and Anthony. And he chimed in on the four quarterback race and maybe a certain mistake made by the Browns.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Should have never been that it's a four-man competition. The messaging should have been it's Joe Flacco v. Kenny Pickett. We're going to take a look at the rookies as well. They're going to get some opportunities. If they show us that they're ready and they're worthy, then yeah, we will certainly consider them for the job. But right now, our goal is to develop them and get them ready to play at the NFL level. But we're focused on Joe Flacco v. Kenny Pickett in this competition. And then if something happens where one of these two kids comes in and just blows us away, then yes, we would be foolish not to consider them.
Yeah, I guess it's really a semantics thing when you look at it, because the idea there is that it's still technically a four-man competition if you say that. But I think where they went wrong with this whole four-man quarterback competition is they acted like everybody stepped in on square one. When we know for a fact, not everybody stepped in on square one, and they weren't treating it that way. It wasn't, hey, four quarterbacks, you're all going to get even reps with the first team, we're going to see who performs and who we really trust. It's, well, we're going to bring in four quarterbacks. We're going to run them as we already see them, which is, hey, Joe and Kenny going to battle out for the job, like Daryl said, and then the young guy's going to, you know, take a step back, and if they prove something, maybe we'll slide them up the depth chart. It is a semantics thing, but I do agree with Daryl. Like, it is a place where the Browns went wrong, because right now, looking at it, the only message being sent by the team should still be, oh, you know, if Dylan and Shador can prove something to us, then sure, but right now, you know, that's going to lead some way for Joe Flacco. This is still going to be a competition because who knows when Kenny's going to be back. They have not said there is no timetable for the hamstring. But that you're going to basically go through and trust, yeah, this is going to be Joe. We have a feeling that we can trust in Joe Flacco right now, and not that, well, we just have no clue who's coming up and whether or not the rookies still have a chance in this thing. But as I said on Friday, it does feel like Shador's out of the competition. This will at least get him throwing to wide receivers more often than not wide receivers, and everybody else run around on the equipment staff, but it doesn't change all that much other than who your starter is going to be week one, which I think if this keeps you out through the remainder of the week and we start getting into next week and start getting into joint practices and Kenny isn't back, there's no other route to go down. Like, you just start Joe, because the indication that you've made through camp is those other two guys are not ready. And we've talked to plenty of people that cover the team. We've talked to Dan Lobby, Lance Reisland, everybody else. And it does feel like there's a gap. A lot of those people do feel that there's a gap between Joe and Kenny and the two rookies that you brought in. So, yeah, I'd probably be just trusting that the thing's going to be Joe unless Kenny is back on the field very quickly. I don't know how you go through and win that job in any other way. All right, let's keep this thing moving. Let's talk more Browns here. Albert Breer joined Nick and Chris Fedor, filling in for JP today on Afternoon Drive out at training camp. And Albert Breer talked about really what the team is as a whole and the way he views them.
I remember saying to you guys, like, I don't know, 2-3 years ago, how, like, it really felt like the Browns didn't have any holes going into the season. And this is, like, sort of a different scenario because that core of players they built around the last 5 years is starting to age out a little. The entire roster is in transition. And the draft day trade was kind of a subtle acknowledgement of it, you know, that they needed to get younger and they needed more capital to get younger. And I think this is sort of where you feel the effects of the Deshaun Watson trade, too, right? I mean, you're talking about, I mean, legitimately, 3 first-round picks that aren't on your team right now, you know, that could have helped infuse some youth in spots where you've gotten older.
I do think, like, it's very easy to look at the Browns and agree with Albert. Yeah, they're in transition. They're going from younger or from an older team with guys like Myles Garrett, no longer here, but Nick Chubb as one of your core pieces, Amari Cooper, and going, yeah, those guys are all, like, 30 now. We might have to consider getting some guys in here who are 24 and not just filling the team with people who fit that window, because that window is a lot closer to sailing. And then if we keep fighting that window, we're just going to be in a really ugly period, right? Like, you're going to be at a point where you're at the team going, everybody here is 33 and we're not going to be competitive when everybody on the team is 24, 25. You got to get some veterans in the room and get the young talent coming up. And yes, Deshaun played a massive factor into that, of why you don't have young players who have been successful. Andrew Berry's played a massive factor into that, not being able to draft players later in the round who turned out, or in later rounds that turn out to be successful. But the difficulty here is I don't know that the Browns acknowledge this idea that they're in a transition period. Like, it does still seem, yes, through trading the draft picks, maybe they're doing that. I think that was probably more about finding the quarterback than anything else. But, you know, maybe they are acknowledging that we need to get younger. Their message is still the same. We're going to try to win football games. We're going to try to be competitive. Well, teams in transition usually act as if their team's in transition. Yes, keep your great players around. That still means keeping Miles. But that should mean trying to actually find something at the spots where you draft the younger players, which they're still not doing at quarterback. You're still rolling out 40-year-old Joe Flacco. That's not a transition piece. That's a bridge piece. That is a transition from, oh, we're rebuilding, to, oh, we're not rebuilding. That's more of what Joe is. I just don't see this team fully acknowledging that and acknowledging it to the public of, yeah, we're going to try to be competitive while also understanding that development is a key part here. They still sound off like they want to win. They're still, I think, treating this thing as if they want to win games, because that's what Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski need. Not necessarily what, you know, Browns fans and the actual organization moving forward needs. And I think that's where you're going to start drawing the line going, I'd like you to kind of pick a side here. Keep the Browns conversation going. Let's go to Daniel Oyafusi, who was also on with Nick and Chris today out at training camp. And he talked about the intensity around practice, being back at home and getting pads on for the first time.
When you have the pads on, the intensity rises up a little bit. The offensive line can kind of drive into the blocks a little bit. It goes hand in hand for the defense as well. But I think it was a really good day. I mean, honestly, it might have been maybe the best day for the quarterbacks. I think they've gradually gotten a little bit better. They always say the defense is a little more ahead of the offense. I don't know if maybe it's because it's one less quarterback and maybe you get into a little more of a rhythm. But I thought all the quarterbacks had their moments. So it was a good back and forth. I mean, I would say this. The intensity now that we're heading into week two, 2 weeks of practices, has been dramatically different than the first 2 weeks at the Green, where it just felt like a long-winded ramp up. Like, they've been getting a lot more work into me these first 2 weeks than last year, and maybe that's just the nature of, you know, you have to when you're trying to evaluate 4 different quarterbacks.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. I also think that We talk about the Greenbrier. If it was a lot less ramped up than it is right now, that might have contributed to a little bit of something. Like, they were taking this easy in years past, making sure they didn't want to get guys hurt. They wanted to keep you healthy going into the season. This is a part about the Browns that I do like. Like, if you're transitioning into, hey, we're going to be more intense in practice, we're going to act like we have a drive, act like we have to fight, and we have to battle within these days between each other, that's only a good thing for this team. Like, that's never going to come out and be a negative, because you do. You have to go out here and battle, and the quarterbacks have to come out here and battle. But I think you have to make a message that nobody's job at this point is safe. Hey, if we go back and talk about, you know, the point that Albert made in this team being in transition, that does also open up the fact of young players should be able to take older players' jobs in the form of a transition. Like, am I expecting Wyatt Teller to lose his job? No, because I don't think there's anybody that can actually live up to what Wyatt Teller is. But if I'm looking around, I don't know, what, you signed Rayshon Jenkins to be a safety? If I got a young guy playing safety that just comes out and surprises, it's not your job necessarily. You're not guaranteed to do that. If Greg Newsome gets beat out by Cameron Mitchell, then Greg Newsome gets beat out by Cameron Mitchell. Allow there to be a competition between these positions and make these guys go out and fight for it. Because you're 3-14 last year. At that point, just about nobody's job should be safe. Kevin Stefanski probably included in that. You should also feel the pressure and want this intensity, but everybody outside of, I don't know, Myles Garrett, your job's on the line. Like, Myles Garrett and Joel Bitonio, those might be the two guys who I look at and go, there is no possible way under the sun that you could lose your job. I don't care if you went out there and looked god-awful in training camp. That job is yours. Like, maybe Denzel Ward gets grouped into that. Everybody else, hey, you're pretty much on the table to be replaced. Like, you have to come out here and you have to be able to fight for it. These guys have to know what is on the line. And that not everything is given, not everything is free. And I think this is a good message, a good start to getting towards that being, you know, the reality for this team. And this team actually going out and fighting to not have a 3-14 season rather than just, oh, things didn't work out, shrug our shoulders. All right, last one for you guys. Let's turn to Scott Petrak, BrownZone.com, on today with Baskin and Phelps. And he talked a little bit more on the Quinshon situation coming away from training camp, what he's learned.
The most important thing I found out at camp, we don't know for sure what's going to go on with Quinshon Judkins. So, you know, we didn't find it out, but, you know, I think that looms over everything that this team is doing. And we don't know when he's going to be back, if he's going to be back.
So I thought it was an interesting point for Scott to have this as his biggest takeaway. Because I think, at least going into this further, it's going to be what the running back room looks like without him. Like, obviously, it would have been massive to see what it was with him, but I think the bigger question here arises with where you go forward. Like, does Jerome Ford take the backfield? What does Dylan Sampson look like? And how this team manages that in a year where they're saying, we're going to lean heavier into the run, we're going to do the things that we did prior, and this offensive line is going to be happy to go back to it. I'm going to need my running backs to be able to step up. Like, not everything is on their shoulders, but yeah, I got to have it be them. Like, the Quinshon situation is interesting. I just think it goes so much deeper than him not being here and being, you get an evaluation of the guys that are, and probably even looking forward into next year, what that room is going to have to look like. Do I have guys on the roster that I want to keep around, that I want to have as rotational pieces, or do I really lean heavy into Quinshon next year if he's going to be here to do that himself? All right. That'll do it for the station buzz. When we come on back here in about 5 minutes, we're going to get to talking about the Browns in 216-474-0092. We're going to get to some of your calls as well as our daily Browns quarterback rankings that sees a massive, massive shift in where guys are standing. As well, a little bit on the Kenny Pickett news. Again, it's all coming your way here in about 5 minutes right here on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.